No.
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 Yeah, that's fine. Get away from this camera, boy. You're making me nervous. 127. All right, you kids, get away from these cameras. Bye bye. Go have a seat. Time for bed.
Time for night.
So,
yeah, I think they have like 28 all together.
Maybe. That's just for live, though.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn this off until...
All right. Good afternoon. Thanks for coming. Welcome to our Share Foundation Baptist Church's service here. Please turn your songbooks to Psalm 343, Revive Us Again. Psalm number 343, Revive Us Again.
Grace, grace, God's grace.
thanks everybody for coming tonight, and I appreciate the work that everybody's put in just this few days on this mini Sony mission trip. So we're in Seattle, Washington. There's some people that were online on the live stream asking where we're at. We're in Seattle, Washington, which is just, I don't know, 10 minutes north of Yakima, I think. So anyway, I get some yeses in the crowd. So anyway, we've just been here soloing, and this is, I think, our third trip here to Yakima. And this is kind of, like I said, a mini trip. But we had 23 salvations for the little mini trip. And so we had 10 salvations today. We had 7 salvations yesterday, 6 salvations on Monday. And I just got in and just went for a couple hours on Monday. But yeah, so we got this little place here rented. It turned into a big place. We didn't realize it was actually going to be this big, but it works for us. So if don't be critical, hypercritical about the stream. We're just running off of a Wi-Fi, and then also we have a little keyboard that Brother Daniel from Spokane has been playing. You can't see him on the camera, but he did a great job. So hey, at least they're trying. They're trying to. That's his first. Is that your first time doing a church service, Brother Daniel?
Church service.
Okay, you've done it. Okay, well, anyway, it's a great job. I appreciate it. I appreciate having some music. It's nice to have music when you're singing, amen. So anyway, yeah, just like this isn't like a traditional church service, but as far as like we don't have a church here in the area, but we were up here, we thought we might as well just do a church service anyway, kind of like we did last time. And so we're just going to have a little bit of preaching going on. We're going to have a little bit of singing. And we had some food tonight. And please take that home, whatever's left over, whoever wants it, it's all yours. But anyway, I just want to thank you again for coming. There's 24 and 10 tonight. And unfortunately, one of our biggest family had to leave and go home. And just pray that their kids feel better. They're not feeling well. So we would have had, I think that's 33 total people. Would have had tonight, but people had to go home. So anyhow, just pray that they have a trip that's, you know, maybe they might have to stop by and get some bags on the way. But anyway, I appreciate all the labor that they put in, and everybody, you guys all done really great. It's been a lot of work, but 23 salvations, so great job, everybody. We'll definitely plan on coming back up this spring. You know, it's been nice to just have some of the local people that live here in this area come soloing with us and be here with us the whole time. We really appreciate it. So that's all I got for announcements. We don't have anything else besides that. We have 24 and 10 today. We could fit 300 in here if we needed to. So we're going to sing another song, and then we'll have a Bible reading, and then I'll be preaching.
Well, that mic's not connected. Just that.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, you don't care about that.
Bible reading right now.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this gathering of your of believers, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless each and every single person here that's come tonight. Pray, Lord, that they would be able to take something out of the message, that they can keep tucked away, Lord, that they would always remember. And Lord, just remember the people who were saved during this little short event, and Lord, all the you provided for us. And we just thank you, Lord, so much for all people who got saved, and that we can just continue to come back here and do mighty works for you, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the title of my sermon tonight is How to Get a New IFB Church Started. How to Get a New IFB Church Started. And some of you are already in a new IFB church, and you're like, wow, this sermon really isn't going to help me any. Well, it actually might help you, because some of the people in this room pastor someday, or plan on maybe starting their own church someday. And I say new IFB church because that's what we are. We're a new IFB church. It means we're independent fundamental Baptist, but we also we kind of does that we don't feel like it's very biblical or necessary.
Yeah.
And we've added things that the Bible actually teaches that the old IFB doesn't teach right. So and the Bible says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. It's like, well, how do we get a new IFB church started? How do we get an independent fundamental Baptist church started? Well, I'll just give a brief testimony of how our church started in Vancouver. Well, we were just like, I was just Facebook friends with a bunch of people that were, you know, new IFB listeners, Pastor Anderson listeners back then. It was just Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez, and I think Pastor Versions had started. And at that time, there was only a few sermons to listen to a week. Now it's like you got to pick which ones, you know. And so I think a lot of pastors try to come up with some interesting titles so you know, they can get some. I'm just not going to make any titles anyway. But Pastor Jones, I think, wins that award. But a brief testimony of our church, you know, we just a bunch of friends that fellowship together. We would go and we all went to church, you know, for the most part. And we all, you know, Pastor Jones was part of that group and a bunch of other people. And a lot of people lived up north in the Seattle area, and a lot of people lived in Oregon. And we basically just, or Vancouver, we just got together and went soul winning, you know. Right. And so it was kind of a spontaneous thing. And, you know, Pastor Anderson had started doing like his Dearborn soul winning stuff. But, and then we did one in Portland that wasn't, you know, it was a smaller group of people, but you know, we just kept souling. We just kept fellowshipping together. We'd go up north, and they'd come down south, and it was just like a group of, you know, maybe 20, 25 people. And then that kind of just turned into us, you know, just growing. growing in the faith, and I think Pastor Anderson came and did that trip where we had the Portland Soul Winning Marathon, and after that, we just continued to go soul winning, and at one point, I remember asking Pastor Jimenez if he would be interested in sponsoring a church, like doing a church plant up in Vancouver, and so at first he wasn't quite sure about that. I listened to a sermon where he said, in the next 10 years, we'd like to start a church. And I was like, how about like this year? But he wanted to pray about it. He wanted to see if I would have a good relationship with the pastor, if I had a good report. Because I think he didn't want just some bozo that wasn't even going to church, and just some fly-by-night that's like, hey, yeah, let's start a church up here. And, you know, Pastor Ed Jimenez is a pretty organized guy, and, you know, he's a good judge of character, I think. And I think he wanted to just see, you know, what it was really going to be like. And our church just took off. And he sponsored us, and I became a leader in Vancouver. We started Verity Baptist Church Vancouver under the leadership of Pastor Jimenez. And we had a great kickoff weekend where we had a bunch of people come. And we had, you know, we had a great 2 years under Pastor Jimenez's leadership. And then he ordained me as the pastor 3 years ago. And so we've been going ever since, going strong ever since. And it's like, well, how did that happen? Well, God built that. God built our church. That's how it happened. And except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that build it. But, you know, there are some key components, and obviously God can do things. He can make things out of nothing. You know, he made the whole universe, and he's spoken into existence. So God is able to do a lot of things that we can't do. But you know what helps is having believers all in the same area, or maybe in a same region, because that's kind of what we were. We were just a group of believers in the same region, like we were just like in Washington, you know, even Northern Washington, Southern Washington, Oregon, Southern Oregon, Idaho, and all those people just kind of converge on that one location. Because the thing about New IP churches, there's just not a lot of them. There's not a lot in America, and then we've had some that were supposedly New IP that have kind of turned against us and decided they didn't want to be so new IFB. But that's okay. God knows what he's doing. That's why.
Right.
Because God knows what he's doing. Yeah. And basically, you know, how did we get the new IFB church started that we got? Well, you know, there are some key components to that. Well, one of the things is that you have to have a group of people that want to have a church.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to have a man of God with a vision to put that church into place.
Amen.
And you also need a man of God that will actually step up and fulfill the role of leader. You can't just have a free-for-all. You know, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that there's a man of God that leads a group of people. So we kind of had those components, you know, for soul winning. And that was the backbone of what soul winning and heart winning is, the backbone of the new IFB.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but God is the one that builds the church. I believe that with all my heart, but I also believe that he's looking for places where he can make his name known. And so why do some areas get new IFB churches and some don't? Well, I don't know the answer to that necessarily, but here's what I do know. I trust God, and he knows what he's doing. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would like to have a church like our church. There's a lot of people out there that would like to have a church like Verity Baptist Church. There's a lot of people who like to have a church like Faith and Word Baptist Church. There's a lot of people who like to have a church like Shield of Faith Baptist Church. There's a lot of people who like to have a church like First Works Baptist Church. There's a lot of people who like to have a church like Stronghold Baptist Church. There's a lot of people who would like to have a church like Mountain Baptist Church. There's a lot of people that would just want to have a church like Pure Words or like Steadfast. You know, there's a lot of great churches out there, but there's keys to having that come to fruition. Why can't a church in Jacksonville get started? I have no idea. But for some reason, it just can't stay new if I had to be. But, you know, I'm sure that the Lord will get figured out at some point. And, you know, I would say that there's a couple good churches in Florida. I mean, if I had no place else to go, I would go to those churches. But I'm talking about new IFB churches now, people that are like, you know, down for the set, so to speak. But, you know, the first thing my first point is that, you know, people got to get realistic, number one. You got to get realistic. What do I mean by that? Well, I believe that God builds a church, and he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And that we could maybe help those conditions to improve to where a church could get started. But he knows our hearts and whether we're going to follow through or not. See, there's a lot of people that just, they're flashes in the pan. You ever heard that saying before? They're a flash in the pan. They're a Roman candle Christians. They say they want something, but then they don't really want to follow through with it. They're not willing to count the cost of what it would cost to have a church like that in their area. They don't want to be faithful. They don't want to, you know, go and put in the hard work. They just want to poof, appear out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden they got a new IFB church to go to. You know, it's not just me that started the church. It's not just Pastor Menz that started the church in Vancouver. It's a whole bunch of people that decided, hey, I want to go to this church, and I want to be a part of it, and I want to help. I want to go soloing. I want to do the hard work that needs to be done. And you know, like I said, God knows what he's doing. And so we still have a church in Vancouver, Washington, that's still going soul winning every week. We're still preaching the Bible every week. And we are, you know, we have a bunch of soldiers in our church that know their Bible now. We have a lot of people that know their Bible. We have a lot of people that are very zealous soul winners. And so they've stayed on board. Now, not everybody stayed. You know, some people have gone. But, you know, when those people leave, then other people replace those people.
Yeah.
See, God knows what he's doing. He knows those people that need to get out, and he knows those people that need to come in. And he's going to build the church.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to also cut people out that don't need to be there anymore. So, and what I mean by get realistic, what do I mean by that? Well, if you're not in a big city, the chances are really slim, you know, the chances are really slim that you're going to have a new IFB church in your place. Why? Because the pastors of this movement have a vision to reach the biggest cities in America. So we're going to pick the biggest cities first. That's kind of what we're known for doing. So like Vancouver is the part of the Portland metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And we barely scratch the surface when it comes to, you know, hitting Portland and the suburbs of Portland. We've knocked most of Vancouver, and we're doing a good job doing that. But, you know, we need to hit the other places, the places that have never been told about the gospel. But, you know, so like if you're in a small town that's got 3,000 people, and you're just praying that God's going to send a new IFB pastor to that 3,000 person town, you know, the chances are slim. I mean, it's slim left town, so the chances are not real high, okay? Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying that, you know, like I said, we have a vision to reach the most people that we possibly can, and we're going to do that in the cities first. Now, I would say that this area here, The Yakima Valley is about 250,000 people. So that's not a small area. Spokane is the second biggest city in all of Washington, I think, behind Seattle, right? So the second biggest city is in Spokane. We got one there. We got one in Vancouver, which is close to the biggest city in Oregon. So we've strategically located, you know, our churches in Washington. Obviously, we don't have one here, but you know, Yakima's on my radar, obviously. I mean, we're coming here, it's super receptive. It's probably the most receptive town in the state that we've been to. You know, we've been to Ellensburg. Ellensburg was like some of the roughest soul winning I've ever been to. I mean, it's like a college town. You know, people just did not want to get saved in Ellensburg. I think we had six for the car that day, and it was rough. But how far is Ellensburg from here, about?
30 minutes.
About 30 minutes from here north. But 30 minutes south of Ellensburg is the most receptive place that we've ever been in Washington. Period.
Yep.
I mean, we've been talking, Brother Sean's been saying it. It's true. Like, you know, we were wondering, like, because we knocked all the two main Indian reservation towns, which is Wapato, what's the other one?
Toppenish.
Yeah, I always forget Toppenish. So Toppenish is the biggest town in the res. It's got like 10,000 people, I think. And I think Wapato is about 6,000 or 7,000, I'm pretty sure. I don't know, I might not be right on those statistics, but we knocked in two trips here, we knocked both those reservations. And so that's a lot of knocking. That's a lot of firepower that we put on that. We've got a lot of people saved in those two trips. This is our third trip here, and now we're hitting Yakima proper and finding out that it's just as receptive as the reservation towns that we've been hitting. And maybe more. I don't know. I mean, we knocked a half a block today and got one saved. And you know, we knocked like two or three block faces today and had like or whatever. I mean, it's very receptive. So it's also beautiful here, but it's definitely on the radar for a church. But I don't want people to not be realistic. because it's, you know, it's hard to get a church going, and, you know, it's, there's a lot of things into it, but God has to be the one that builds it. But we got this. I don't want you to think that you're going to get a church just sent to you in Podunk Holler, USA. You know, and that just basically means a very small town out in the middle of nowhere. It's not going to happen. And so you're either going to have to travel to a good church in your, that's in your region, or you're going to have to move to a good church in a different area.
Right.
You know, but some people can't do that, and I understand that. But you know what's going to happen if you don't go to church? Then you're just going to, you're going to drift off.
Yeah.
You're going to go out. At some point, you're going to fall away.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have a good church to go to, you've got to have a good fellowship, and you have to have a reason for being.
Right.
You know, if you're like, well, what am I doing here? I don't know. I'm just kind of drifting. Well, you can't be a drifter. Yeah. You have to get all in. You can't be halfway in, halfway out. And I know when people say that, like, well, I'm kind of halfway out, so maybe I just need to get all the way out. No, you need to get all the way in. That's what you need to do. Now, I'll just name really quickly. I named some of the churches already, but I'll just name, and if I forgot somebody, I'm sorry. I didn't have, like, a list I was going off. I was just going off the top of my head here. But in Arizona, of course, we've got Phoenix. Arizona is a great church there, Faith Ford Baptist Church. Then we've got Faith Ford Baptist Tucson, two big cities in Arizona, the biggest cities there. And then, so you got Pastor Anderson, Deacon Corbin Russell is running Tucson. Then you got, in California, you got three churches to choose from. You got Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento. You got First Works Baptist Church in Los Angeles. And you've got Old Fast Baptist Church, and Pastor Bazarnski, the newest pastor, ordained by Pastor Jimenez. Then in Washington, you got Vancouver, Washington. You got Spokane. And then, you know, I'm the pastor. Yours truly is the pastor of those churches. And then in Idaho, you have Shield of Faith Baptist Church by Pastor Jones. In Georgia, you got Stronghold Baptist Church, Pastor Burgess. West Virginia, you got Mountain Baptist Church, Pastor Jason Robinson. Texas, Pure Word Baptist Church, Steadfast Baptist Church, Houston, Texas, and Hearst, Texas. And then Pastor Jonathan Shelley. Oklahoma, you got Steadfast Baptist Church, Pastor Shelley. Cincinnati, Ohio, Good News Baptist Church, Pastor Ted Webb, a friend of mine. And then you have in Canada. So those are just the ones in the U.S. that I know about that are actually New IFB churches. And then in Canada, you have our Sure Foundation Baptist North Church, which is in Surrey, B.C. And you've got Evangelist Lynn Fisher leading that group. In England, we have Sure Foundation Baptist Church of England, and that's U.K. And that's Evangelist Ian Tavner. They're doing great over there. And then Australia, you've got Blessed Hose and Hope Baptist Church, New Life Baptist Church, pastored by Pastor Kevin Sepulveda. And then in the Philippines, as I'm doing the other countries too. So in the Philippines, there's two churches that Pastor Menes has started, and Brother Evangelist Matthew Stuckey leads Manila and Pampanga. And so then that's basically the New IFB churches that I know of. And so, you know, we got a lot of room to grow. There's a lot of hedges to fill in. There's a lot of gaps to fill in those areas. And I'd like to see churches all around the world keep popping up. And obviously, we've had some setbacks. You know, we had a setback in Hawaii. We've had setbacks in other places where we thought there was somebody there, and there wasn't. And it's just, you know, if everything went by the way that we wanted it to go, things would be different. But, you know, God knows what he's doing. He knows why these things happen. Obviously, you got to understand that men are sinful. And so, you gotta understand that God won't just allow some guy to still continue to stay in a place when he's wicked, or if he's just not cut out for it. Sometimes people just aren't cut out for it. They don't realize that until they get to becoming a pastor, and then they just realize, well, hey, I'm way over my head. But you know, because being a pastor is hard work. So the cities that are on my radar right now, Yakima is on my radar. Tri-City is on my radar. Seattle is on my radar. And Seattle is the biggest area in all of Washington, obviously. And so I think it'd be a real shame to not have a church up there.
Yeah.
But in Europe, I'm looking at the Netherlands. I'm looking at Geneva, Switzerland. You're like, where are those places at? Well, they're in Europe, okay? So, and I'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later, but what am I looking for? Well, I'm looking for groups of believers that are faithful to church, church, soul winning, Bible reading, prayer, and fellowship. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
I'm looking for the right recipe. I'm looking for people who are actually going to stick it out. I'm looking for people that are actually going to continue to go, whether they're a church comes to their place or not.
Right.
They're not just doing it just so they can get a church.
Right.
They're doing it because they love the Lord, and they want to follow His word. And, you know, obviously they want a church to start up. But you know what's real hard for me? I do have a church planting heart as a pastor. You know, if I could plant more churches, I would. But it just becomes too much. Right? And so I can't get too crazy with it. I realize that, you know, there is a limit upon, you know, what I'm able to do by myself. As far as, like, and it's not by myself, but you know what I'm saying. Like, as the pastor of the church, it's just too much stuff to keep track of, and it's just too many people to train. I'd love to just keep starting churches, but there has to be the right people in those places to do that. But here's another thing. Ask the pastor to help. You know, I ask the pastor to help. That's part of the formula, guys. That's part of the formula is that, hey, you want a church to start up in your area? Why don't you ask a pastor for help?
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. There's not a lot of men that are willing to step up and do it. So I'm getting ahead of myself, though. So, you know, number one, we need to get realistic. You know, if you want a new IP church to start in your area, and you think that, you know, Selah, Washington is where it's going to be, you know, it could be if it was, you know, called the Yakima Baptist Church or, you know, Church Foundation Baptist Yakima or whatever, but, you know, if you just think it's some small town that's going to be the host of the next new IP church, you're misguided. And if you can't bring yourself to travel to another church that's close, if you can't bring yourself to move to another church, then you're just going to be stuck in that spot. So, you know, obviously, the Lord would love to have churches in all cities in this country, all cities in this world, but, you know, there has to be enough people to get the job done. So number two, we need to get faithful, stay faithful, and be patient. Number two, if you want a new IP church in your area, you need to get faithful, stay faithful, and be patient. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, Proverbs chapter 20, and verse number 6. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse number 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, which we see that out of soul winning every single day, right? But a faithful man, who can find? A faithful man, who can find? And, you know, point number two is that we need to get faithful. We need to stay faithful. We need to be patient. You know, the problem is, the Bible's asking this question, saying, but a faithful man, who can find? Because that's, unfortunately, the truth of this world, is that there's not a lot of faithful men out there. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. You know, and it's important. God, you know, God is looking for, he's not looking for perfect. He's not looking for the best speaker. He's not looking for the best looking. He's not looking for the biggest muscles. He's not looking for the greatest wife, the greatest husband. He's looking for someone that's imperfect but able to be faithful.
Right.
There's a lack of faithful people in this world, and that's why it's so hard to get churches like this church started. And because a faithful man, who can find? Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required of a steward. So this, if I'm considered a minister of Christ, which I am, then I need to be faithful as a minister of Christ, as the steward of the mysteries of God. I got to be faithful. You know, and what does that entail? Well, faithful in Bible reading, faithful in my prayer time, faithful showing up to church. You know, I'm supposed to be an example of the believers. You know, if I'm missing church every week, you know, how faithful does that look? If I never read my Bible, how faithful is that? You know, God expects me to be faithful, to be, you know, a minister of Christ and the steward of the mysteries of God. But you know what? It's important to have a church that's going to get going. It's important to have a new IP church that the people that come to that church are faithful also. And I'm not just talking about faithful in church. I'm talking about faithful in all the things I just mentioned.
Yeah.
because you can't just be some dodo that comes, you haven't read your Bible all week, you come once a week to one service, and you expect that you're going to be on fire for God. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh unto you.
Right.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. You know, you do need to be faithful. You know, if you want to have a new IP church start in your area, well, why don't you start being faithful in the church that you already go to?
Yeah.
You're like, well, it's really hard to go to that church, Pastor. You know, and look, if the pastor isn't saved, I wouldn't expect you to go to that church. If you live in a country where there's no saved pastors, how can you go to church at a place where there's no saved pastors?
Yeah.
But what I would say to you is this, that, you know, if you can start up your own little group, and I'm not saying church, okay? Don't get me wrong here. Don't say Pastor Thompson said you just start up your own little church. That's not what I said. I said you can start up your own little group, though.
Yeah.
You know, if there's no saved pastor, if there's no place to go to church where there's someone that's actually saved preaching behind the pulpit, then you're in a world of hurt. And, hey, the best thing you can do is gather up with the believers that are in your area and fellowship and maybe preach to each other or whatever. And pray that God sends you a man, or pray that God, you know, is able to start a church in that area somehow.
Right.
We limit God by our faith. You know, if you have little faith and you're not faithful, then it's going to be hard for God to bless your life. So be faithful in the place where God has put you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." So God wants us to consider each other. And how do we do that? Well, we provoke each other unto love and good works. And then it says in the next verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, what's really important is to assemble yourself together with other believers.
Amen.
And it's super important. God says not to forsake that. You know, it says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That means you need to go to church. And if there's no church, which, you know, in America, that's just, it's hard to imagine there's no churches where this pastor's saved. I'm sure that there's a pastor that's saved in this town, possibly. I don't know. I haven't gone to all the churches. So, but if you haven't exhausted all your avenues, then maybe you need to look around and find a church that you can go to and you can get on board with.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you need to bring in all your, you know, hey, Pastor, I'm only going to be able to go to this church if you don't preach against, you know, if you're not pre-trib, you're not anti-Jew, or whatever. You can't look at it like that. If you're not willing to move, you're not willing to travel, you need to find the best place where you can go to church.
Good.
And God's going to look down on your affliction, hopefully, and maybe get a good church in your area.
Right.
You know, so it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, which shows that there's a manner of some. Their manner is to not go to church, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to go to church more, not less. The day approaching wasn't talking about us, talking about the day that Christ returns. So tomorrow is going to be closer for Christ to return, isn't it? So we need to go to church as much as we can, and not forsake the assembling, because it's super important that we get together with other believers. Because you can get where you feel like you're the only one. Well, I'm the only one, Lord. You're like Elijah. You know, everybody else is pissed, Baal. Everybody else is bowed to knee to Baal, except for you. And I alone am here. I'm the only prophet. And it's like you can start to feel that way because you feel like you're the only one that believes like you in your church or whatever. But, you know, there's 7,000 men in heaven that bowed to knee to Baal. Or kissed him on the mouth, right? So there's a lot of people in this world that want something similar to what you want, but you've got to be willing, you know, if you're not willing to move, you're not willing to travel, then hunker down and go to the best church you can. Do the best work you can in the place that you live. And the other thing you need to do is, you know, so get faithful in church and stay faithful in church. And be patient, because just because you start going to church for 6 months doesn't mean the new IP is just going to come and plant a church in your town.
Yeah.
It might not even happen. I'm not promising anything, but I do think that, you know, if the right elements are there, that God will make something happen in your area.
Amen.
Now, soul winning is another thing that we need to be faithful with. You know, like while you're, you know, know, you're preaching a sermon, you always preach about the gospel. Well, you know, these things are important. Yeah. It's important to have a balance in your life. One of those balances is going to church.
Yeah.
You know, and the other balance is you need to get out and go soul winning. Do it on a regular basis. Once a week is how much you should be going. If you're not going once a week, you know, that would be like the bare minimum.
Yeah.
That's the zero Christian. And what do I mean by that? Well, you're doing basically the benchmark of what God expects.
Yeah.
You're not going above and beyond. You're just doing, you know, what he expects, okay? So, soul winning, you know, what does that do? Well, first of all, it's going to help your church.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, maybe, you know, they just don't like me soul winning. They don't like me calling it soul winning. Well, whatever they call it, if it's witnessing or evangelism or whatever they want to call it, those words are still right words.
Yeah.
It's just when you hear soul winning, you're like, that's and then from the Baptist church. Amen. So, now, another way you could help, you know, or be faithful is do a regional soul winning time. Maybe you can only visit a church like ours every so often, but you know what? We just set up Brother Cody here as one of our regional soul winning leaders, and he just, because I've been watching him be faithful every week, going out soul winning and, you know, getting one or two people saved. But, you know, people that live in this area, hey, help Cody out. Help Cody and Alicia. Help them get this soul winning time you know, going where people are just getting saved week after week, and maybe that time will build. Maybe the people will build. You know, maybe God will do a great work in Yakima and send a preacher here to start up a church. And I think a church would do very well in this area.
Yeah.
So Mark 16:15 says, I'll have you turn to Matthew 4:4. But in Matthew 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we're supposed to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. And hey, you know, maybe you don't have a great church to go to. Maybe they just are not really that big on soul winning, but you know what? That doesn't mean you can't go. And if you can't, and if you just go to a place that you just go to every once in a while, then you can start up something regional that can catch fire. And catch, you know, God will bless. God will bless what? Your faithfulness. God will bless the fact that, hey, this person's going out every week. They love me. They love people. They love souls. Maybe I can do something for them. Maybe I can bless the work that they're doing and grow it and have more people come to it. And even if you never do get a church that starts out there, at least you're being faithful and you're going out and soul winning. And you're going to a local church that at least has a saved pastor there. And maybe you have to travel a little ways to go to a church that's decent. Maybe you have to travel in an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. There's people that come to our church that travel for 3 hours. I mean, 3-4 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour. And, you know, it's not necessarily something that's super sustainable, but at some point, you know, people are going to make a decision whether either they're going to move or they're going to move someplace else or they're going to fall away.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to be the person that falls away.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you got to keep up on the Bible reading. You're like, well, you always preach about this. Yeah, I do. But it's important, isn't it?
Amen.
And we have a King James Bible. You know how many people in history haven't had a Bible like this?
Yeah.
How many people died so that you could get this in your hand and then you don't even read it?
Yeah.
People cry when they get a real Bible in some countries.
Yeah.
People are very thankful, and I'm sure people were very thankful when the King James 1611 first came out. And, you know, we can mass print this. We can, you know, we can give one at the Dollar Tree for a dollar. I mean, they're super all over the place, but how many people neglect them and don't even read it? Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So God said that man shall not live by bread alone. It's not food is not enough to sustain you. Food is not enough to help you.
Yeah.
You need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And guess what? You've got an every word Bible right here.
Yeah.
You have every word of God right here in your hand. If you have a King James Bible in your hand, in your lap.
Amen.
And you know what? God said you shouldn't live by bread alone. Every word. So read this book and be faithful to it. You know, don't just forget it, believe it, let dust cover over the top of it. Be faithful to your Bible reading. You know, God's going to look down, he's going to see you being faithful. He's going to say, that person's faithful in their Bible reading. Maybe I can do something great for that person. Maybe I can do something great through that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. The Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Hey, you want to have hope in your heart? You want to have hope in your life? And maybe you're not in a great place with a great New IP church, but hey, you know what? You've got the comfort of the Scriptures. You got the every word Bible in your hand. And the Bible says that, you know, these things that were written for you, they're written for your learning. And that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, this book will comfort you. You know, you think about a blanket, you know, a blankie that you snuggle up with, or a pillow. But you know what the King James Bible will do? It'll give you comfort.
Yeah.
Amen.
It'll give you hope.
Amen.
But you know what? You've got to pick it up and read it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick." That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hey, you got a book here that can read your heart. You got a book here that can discern your thoughts. But you know what? If your mind is never in it, if your eyeballs are never on it, then you're going to have a hard time letting it discern your thoughts so that you can do the things that God wants you to do in your heart and in your mind.
Good.
You want to have a new IP? Oh, I want to be. I want to have a new IP church in my town. Why don't you start reading the Bible then? And God will see that you have a faithful mind, a faithful heart to do the things that He wants you to do. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Timothy 4, 13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation and doctrine." Hey, until Paul's saying, hey, until I come, Timothy, why don't you do this? Why don't you give attendance to reading? Why don't you exhort some people? Why don't you learn some doctrine? And you know what? That's a good thing for people that are waiting for some new IFP church to come to their area, or a great Baptist church to come to their area. Maybe God's looking to see how faithful you're going to be. Maybe God wants you to give a little reading. Give attendance to reading and exhortation, encouragement, and to learn some doctrine. A lot of people just get all their doctrine from videos. But you know what? That stuff doesn't stick necessarily. When you study your Bible and you read your Bible, that's what's going to give you the most learning.
Amen.
You know, He didn't say watch the Bible.
Right.
You know, watch it on a video screen or listen. You know, obviously we should listen to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But what is the main thing that Jesus tells people? Have you not read?
Yeah.
Did you not read in the Scriptures?
Right.
Because, you know, why is it in a book? Because you know what? Books are the thing that are going to give you the most learning and the most knowledge. And the Bible is a book for a reason. It's not a DVD. It's not a CD. And I'm not saying that those things are bad. I'm just saying that the best way to get your Bible knowledge, the best way to learn the Bible, is to actually put your eyeballs on it and read it. Psalm chapter 119, verse 18. Psalm chapter 119, verse 18. The Bible says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know what? When you're reading your Bible, when you're being faithful to your Bible reading, and you ask God to open your eyes so you can learn something and behold something wondrous out of His law, you know what? God's going to do that for you. You know, try being faithful. Try being faithful. Try being patient and waiting for that church to come for you. And just do the things that God wants you to do. And maybe God's going to do the things that you desire the most in your heart.
Right.
Like getting a great church to go to. So, what about prayer life? I'm going to address that at my last point, so I'll move on past the prayer life thing. But fellowship is another important thing. Turn to Acts chapter 2, 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. You know what? It is important to fellowship. It's not just, you know, and assembling together as believers is fellowship, but it's church. But afterward is when the fellowship usually happens, or beforehand is when the fellowship usually happens. You know what people like to talk about in a new IFB church? They like to talk about the Bible. Right. Most of the conversations that have taken place this week have been about the Bible. And that's the way it should be. You know, obviously there's other things we can talk about, but when you're in church, when you're fellowshipping with other believers, it's great to have your thought, to talk about your thoughts about a certain passage.
Yeah.
And to just talk and iron sharpen iron together. That's the point of fellowship, is that we exhort each other and encourage each other to stay in the faith. And we encourage each other. I mean, there's all manner of topics that we can do, but, you know, fellowshipping with people that believe the same thing that we do is very important. It's a key part of being faithful. Now, fellowship means friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. I'll repeat that again. Fellowship means kindly association, especially with people who share one's interests. So when we fellowship, we're supposed to be fellowshipping with people that share our same interests. What is our same interest here? The Lord,
yeah.
The Bible, yeah. Prayer, soul winning. Those are the things that we associate. Why do we associate together?
Right.
Because we love God.
Yeah.
And we love each other. We're supposed to love each other, and that's one of the commandments that Jesus said, that we should love one. A new commandment. All right, number three tonight, get a man of God. You know, I talked a little bit about this already, but, you know, one of the things, a key to starting a new IFB church, is you got to have a man of God to run the thing.
Yeah.
So what is God's heart on the problem of the lack of men willing to rise up and lead God's people? What's God's heart about it? You know, what do you think that God thinks about it? How do you think he feels? What do you think he wants? You know, a church is not going to start without a man to lead it.
Yeah.
It's just not going to.
Right.
And so there's got to be a man with a willing heart in that area. I believe that's one of the keys.
Yeah.
Someone has to surrender to God and say, you know what, I'm willing to do it. I'm not saying that, you know, God's going to come and call you like he called Samuel in the middle of the night or something, okay? You know, here am I, Lord.
Yeah.
It's not going to necessarily happen like that. It might just happen in the fact that you see the need for an area. You know, I saw a need for Vancouver, and I didn't want to forsake that area. I could have moved to a different church. I could have went someplace else. But you know what? I love the area there. And I don't want to see that area go to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted to help and do whatever I could. And so at one point I was just like, let's do it. You know, and when you're willing to say, I want to do that, I want to surrender and be a pastor or be a man of God, then, you know, God will answer that call.
Yeah.
You know, I was willing, but I got to be honest, I was a little bit worried about it. Anybody would be.
Yeah.
It's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility. It's a lot of work. And it's a lot of hate. People hating you. People wanting you to be destroyed. People wanting to destroy your life. People attacking your children. People attacking your spouse. People attacking your church members. And people attacking you. And it gets old. It really does. And they know that. People that attack, that's what they like to do. They just like to keep, you know, whatever thing you answer, they come to the next thing. And the next thing, and the next thing, and they just won't stop. So, you know, it's good to understand and just let that roll off the duck's back, right? You know, like water off the duck's back. But look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. God's heart is that he wants men in every single area, in every single gap, in every single hedge, so that God won't have to destroy this place, so that God won't have to destroy this land. He wants people to be saved. You know what? There's people that have been standing in the gap in this area, in Union Gap, and in Yakima, and all these surrounding areas. We went to White Swan. You know, people are like, well, what's the big deal about that? It's one of the most dangerous places that there is in this state. And it's just a small little town filled with gang violence. But you know what? God protects us.
Like, yeah.
I was more worried about the dogs than I was the people.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that Chihuahua leader was ruthless. But anyway, he was the pack master.
All, even the pit bulls were following him. He was like a little Napoleon. Anyway, so Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, look what God says. It says, and I sought for a man among them that they should, excuse me, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But here's the sad part about it. He says, but I found none. You know, and that doesn't always happen. God finds somebody in a generation, but in this generation, apparently, he looked for somebody to stand somewhere in the gap. And what's a gap? It's an area where, you know, if you're thinking about soldiers, you don't want to have a bunch of gaps where people can break through your lines and stuff like that. But he said he couldn't even find someone to stand in the gaps that were there. To make up the hedge. A hedge is like a big bush, right? That, like, you know, keeps things out, or, you know, it's like some kind of, even it could be a wall of some sort that keeps things from getting to you. But he says he couldn't even find people to make up the hedge. So number three tonight is that we need to get a man of God in the place if you want to have a church there. A new IFB church, you want to have a new IFB church? Well, how about we need to have a man there first? Yeah. And so, you know, it's just a shame that there's not enough men out there that are willing to step up and stand in the gap. Look at verse 31. It says, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. So at some point, God had to destroy that land because there was just nobody there. There wasn't a man there among them that could stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And that's sad. And that's what we see in this country today. Why aren't there more churches like this? Well, there's not a man to stand in the gap. There's not men that are willing to set aside and hazard their own lives for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ because they're too worried about their profession, or, you know, where they were, or their finances, or, you know, they're worried about how other people are going to feel about them, or they're just saying, maybe I can't do it. You know what? God can do all, you know, he can do all things.
Yeah.
We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
So God can help you. God can make you good enough to do it. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
You know, people have this weird thing where they think the pastors are supposed to be absolutely perfect and never make mistakes. You know, and if they make a mistake, it's almost like they expect sinless perfection of the pastor, which is just really weird.
Yeah.
You know, they're not sinless, but they expect you to be sinless. It's like, well, I don't know, I don't mean to burst the bubble, but I'm not sinless. I'm not perfect. You know, and God doesn't expect you to be either. He does expect you to be able to keep, you know, the qualifications and to have the qualifications for the bishop. And I'm not going to go through this tonight because I don't have time, but look at Titus 1:5. This is God's, I just want to show you God's heart for the man of God. Because you're not going to get a church without a man of God. You're just not. It won't work long term. It won't work. So it can't just be, you know, a whole bunch of other people that, you know, eventually there has to be a leader there. There has to be a man standing again. Look what it says, for this cause left I being Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So Paul left Titus in Crete that he should set in order the things that are wanting, the things that are lacking. There's something was lacking in these churches. Now, churches can be churches without a man of God, but eventually, you know, it says that if they don't have a man of God, that they're wanting. That means they're lacking. They're lacking something to make it in order.
Right.
God wants things decently and in order. He wants things set in order. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of rules and times and places.
Right.
And, you know, he just wants things in a certain way. And he wants men of God that are, you know, going to make up the hedge and stand in the gap and the plate and fulfill the things that are wanting so that they can be, so God can ordain. He wants ordained elders in every city.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. I mean, Crete is not exactly the biggest island on the planet. It's not. But he still wanted pastors, elders in every city. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you about the rest of the world? Tells you that, you know, he still wants elders in every city. So does he want one here in Seattle, Washington? Yeah. Does he want one in Yakima, Washington? Yes, he does. Does he want one in Sunnyside, Washington? Yes, he
Yes, he does. He wants one in every city. But unfortunately, we just don't have the manpower to fulfill these roles. Now, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Let me repeat that again. "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." What does God want? He wants to give you a pastor. He wants to give you someone that will feed you the Word of God. He wants to give you someone that has knowledge and understanding. And so it's not like God doesn't want that. He does want that.
Yeah.
He wants to give those things. But you know what? He's not a Calvinist. You know, I know that, you know, there's people out there that believe that God just controls people and makes them make decisions. But you know what? Every man has a decision to make in their life. Adam and Eve in the garden had a decision they had to make in their life. He said, "Everything else you can eat from, but don't eat that." And just like a little child, he said, "Don't touch that." What do? They walk right over and touch the thing that they're not supposed to touch. But that's how people are. That's how we all are. You know, we try to stay away from things. We try to be good, but it's just really hard sometimes because we're sinful. But you know what? There's a lot of men out there. They're just saying, "You know what? It's not me. It's not for me. It's not my job. I can't do this." And that's just not true. You're just lying to yourself.
Yeah.
It can be you. Obviously, if you can meet the qualifications of a bishop, then, you know, why not try to do that? And even if you never are a pastor, at least you are qualified that whether God ever needed to put you in his army, which, let me tell you something, God does want to put you in his army.
Yeah.
He's not going to just put anybody. It's not going to be like the lowest people of the land like Jeroboam. He just got the worst of the worst dredges of people and just put them in. And that's kind of what happens today. You get a lot of people that are unqualified to be pastors leading churches.
Yeah.
They don't even have children. They're not even married. It's like there's qualifications to be a bishop,
yep,
and they're not being met today. And it's like Jeroboam Baptist Church.
Yeah.
You know, let's just let the most unqualified people get up here and preach the Bible. And you wonder why Christianity is in a sad state of affairs as it is today. Even old IFB churches that are really big about, you know, they're good about a lot of things, but they get people and they get them fresh out of Bible college, sometimes not even married, and they're pastoring a church. They're pastoring. They can't even lead a family. They haven't even proved they can lead a family, and yet they're pastoring a church. It's almost like just some kids, you know, some young Catholic priest just getting a whole parish to himself or whatever. These guys are just like, you know, or these Mormons that call themselves elders when they're like 17 years old. Unqualified. I mean, obviously they're heretics, but I'm just saying that it's almost like even Baptists have just lowered themselves like the people of Samaria and just got the worst people they can get or the most unqualified person and say, "Hey, you're a priest. Here you go. Come on, sonny." You know? And they're not qualified. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. See, God can call people, you know, he can use people that are in a place to call forth men of God to come forth. Look at Acts 16:6. It says, "Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" And I'm not saying that you're going to have some dream where you're supposed to be called over Macedonia or something. You know, obviously this has happened in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul, he was obviously a prophet as well. But, you know, we can still, as God's people, say, "Hey, we got a group of soul winners over here. We got people that are free to thrive over here. We're meeting up, we're fellowshipping up over here. We hold the Bible in high regard. We're on our knees, we're praying, we want somebody to come. Hey, pastor, would you please send somebody over here so we can have a new IFP church? Can we have a good Baptist church to go to?" And God will do those things, but you know what? We've got to put the first things first.
Yeah, right.
If you're just sitting there eating chips off your chest and watching YouTube videos all the time. He's never going to send somebody there.
Right.
He's looking for people. You know, the book of Acts was a book of action. Mm. Lights, camera, action. And it just started and they just went boom.
Yeah.
And God did mighty and great works. Look at verse 10. It says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assured the gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, obviously, you know, it's not just about preaching the gospel, but hey, that's how great soul winning movements start, is people actually go soul winning. Imagine that. God sends a man and says, you know what? I'm going to send that man up there to go soul winning. But these people are already like, hey, come help us. Come help us. And that's kind of what I believe the people that want to have a great new IFE church start in their area. Hey, get the 20 people together. Start going soul winning. Find a man of God that can, find someone that can be qualified to be a man of God.
Right.
Or ask for a man of God to be sent.
Mm.
There's multiple different ways to do these things.
Mm.
And look, again, I'm not guaranteeing that this is going to happen. But I mean, why not try? It worked for us. You know, you got to have a little bit of faith.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that means set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And you know what? Being a man of God, being a pastor, being a leader of a church is work. It's not something that's easy. But you got to be meek for the master Jesus. You got to, you know, purge yourself from all these things. And be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meek for the master Jesus, prepared unto every good work. And the Bible says that, you know, becoming a bishop is a good work, isn't it? We'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth what? A good work, right? So if you want to be meet for the master's use, prepare unto every good work. You know, being a bishop, desiring to be a bishop is a good work. But now doing it to just satisfy some power-hungry thing that you have in your soul, that's not a good reason to be a bishop. You know, you got to do things for the right reasons. You can't just do things because you're self-willed. To be self-willed, there's a lot of people that want to be pastor just so they can have the title of being called pastor, which is really weird, you know, because obviously you're just a phony if that's what you want. So, but just know this, that it's a good work. God wants to prepare a man for a good work, but it's work. People just think that, you know, becoming a pastor, it's easy. Well, you know, come walk a week in my moccasins and just tell me how easy it is, right? It's not as easy as people think it is. I had this bozo the other day say to me that I work 70 hours by the sweat of my brow. It's like he's a truck driver. It's like, you know, the only time he's sweating is when he's trying to get himself under the cab of the truck. But anyway. And I'm not saying truck driving is an easy job. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, once you get the air blowing, you're not going by the sweat of your brow. Maybe you crank the heat up too high. It's a hard job, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not. But I've driven trucks. And I'll say that being a pastor is 10 times harder than driving a truck. Okay? And I don't like driving a truck. But I do it. I've done it. I got a CDL. I got a Class A CDL. I got a tanker endorsement. I got hazmat. I got all that stuff. It's current, baby. I could do it right now. I could go get in a truck and drive. And you know what? I don't want to. Because you know what? I'm doing good work here. Why would I stop doing what I'm doing now and just to drive a truck? But don't sit there and brag about how hard you work when you just find a truck, bro. Just stop. It's only local. It's not like your OTR. Anyway, number four. Before I go to number four, though, I just want to say, you know, maybe God's calling you to be a man of God, and He wants you to be a pastor. He wants you to, maybe He just wants you to help a pastor. He wants you to help a man. Be faithful. But you got to be faithful, folks. You got to be faithful, and you got to be patient. And, you know, you got to not only get faithful, but you got to stay faithful.
And, you know, then you got to, you know, you got to do what God wants you to do. So, but can you be that man? Can you be the man of God that is needed for that area? You know, you got to be willing. You got to be a willing vessel. You got to say, hey, God, here am I, send me. You know, and he'll use you. But, you know, make sure that's what you want to do. You got to count the cost.
Yeah.
Because if you think it's just going to be like super easy, you're wrong about that. It's not super easy. The more you do it, the longer you do it, the harder it kind of gets. So, anyway, number four, let's move on. It's my last point. Get on God's radar. You want to have a new IFP church in your area? Get on God's radar. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. The Bible says, I'm going to give you a second turn there. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. You need to get on God's radar. Now, listen to this story. In Luke 18, 1, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that the men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was a city in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she will weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And the reason why I'm showing you that is because, look at verse number 1 again. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So he's given this example of a judge that's just, he's not a saved man. He's an ungodly person. But this old lady's just like, you know, avenge me of my adversaries. She's just continuously coming to him. He's saying, like, in the same way, you know, think about God. If you're just continuously going to him and just saying, hey, I'd like a church in my city, God. God, would you help us out? We need a man to come here, God. And, you know, don't faint. Don't be weary. Keep asking and begging God for that sin. And I'll tell you what, you know, what's to say that you know, he's going to hear what they're going to say, what you're going to say to him. He's saying, don't faint. Men always ought to pray. And if you want to get on God's radar, you might want to start bothering him with your prayer life.
Yeah.
Excuse me. If you want a man of God to come to your area, if you want a church, a new IFP-like church in your area, then why don't you just start asking God for it?
Yeah.
And don't be weary. Don't faint in your mind and say, oh, he's never going to answer the prayer. That's a lack of belief right there, folks.
Right.
If you beg God enough, he'll listen to your request.
Yeah.
He's going to listen. And let me tell you this. It's not that it's not God's will for you to have a great church in your area.
Right.
Don't you think it's God's will
for
him to have a man of God in every town, in every city, to preach the word of God and to just rip on sin, preach hard, send out soul winners, have church services, multiple church services a week? Yeah. Of course that's what God wants. Of course that's what he wants. Turn back to chapter 7. Over and over and over again in the Bible, God tells us that we should pray for him. But yet, this is probably the biggest lack that people have in their Christian life. A lot of people probably go soul winning in this room. A lot of people go to church. A lot of people read the Bible. But praying seems to be something that gets missed.
Yeah.
And that's one of our biggest weapons. It's one of our biggest things. You know, we can actually go to the God of the universe, the God that made heaven and earth, and ask him our petitions in Jesus' name. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, what does it say? Receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Most people in this room that have kids, if your kid asks for some piece of bread, they're not going to give you a rock. You're going to give your kid what they need. Okay, daddy, give me some bread. Give me some, whatever. I don't know what your kids ask for. candy or whatever it is. And most people, most kids aren't asking for bread, okay? But you're not going to give them the opposite of something that's going to hurt their teeth. It says, or if you ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? You're not going to go, here's your fish. It's a rattlesnake, You're not going to do that. So look at what he says. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? Ask him. You've got to ask him for stuff. And if you just never ask for anything, you're not going to ever get anything. If you want a new IFB church in your area, and you live in an area where you think God would want to put a church there, then why don't you ask him? You have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss. You're asking for things that you really don't need. Well, you know what you really do need? You need a powerhouse church in your area. Preaching hard and winning souls. Excuse me. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says in James 5:16, I'm almost done here, by the way. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, it's not saying, the 5-second prayer of someone that just really doesn't care that much is availing much. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. There's a difference between a prayer that you're just like going through the motions on. There's a difference between a prayer that is an immediate need that it's like when it's your family, when it's your child that's sick, when it's your child that's hurt, or your wife is sick, or your wife is hurt, or your grandma that's sick, or your grandma that's hurt. Your grandma that's not saved. Your grandpa that's not saved. We're a little more fervent with those prayers, aren't we? But what about the fervent prayer for a great church to be put into your area? What about that? Do you pray hard for that? Because isn't that something that would be good to pray fervently about? Look at verse 17. It says, Elias, talking about Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. He's a man just like all of us, right? Or, of course, there's ladies here. But he's a man. He's just a man, right? But he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah prayed for a drought to happen that would be 3 years and 6 months. That's a long time to not have a rain in your area. I mean, there'd be some forest fires, there'd be not a lot to drink or eat, people would be dying. But he was just like us. And he prayed, and that happened. It says he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You know what I think that is lacking when people walk out of a church like a great UIP church in their area? They just don't pray. They don't ask for it. They don't really care enough. And it just shows, their lack of faith that God isn't going to do what he said. Elijah was a man just like any of us. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. And when he said, hey, you know what? Let it rain again. It gave forth, the earth gave, brought forth her fruit. How about we pray for a church in our area? You want a new IFB church so bad? Why don't you pray for one to come to your area? Why don't you pray for a man of God to come to your area? Why don't you go to church and be faithful in the things that you know you're supposed to be faithful in? Why don't you go soul winning? You just think, God, you're going to be laying there like some no IFB slob, and God's just going to make great things happen in your area. It's not going to happen, folks. Right. Have a little bit of passion. Yeah. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. The last verse I'll have you turn to. How do I know God wants all this stuff? How do I know God wants a great church to be in this town? How do I know God wants people to keep getting saved in this city? Because Jesus said that he wanted them. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Does all mean all? All power?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even up to the end of the world. Amen. Jesus Christ wants us to go. He wants us to teach all nations. He wants us to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He wants us to teach the Bible to people. But unfortunately, there's a lack of great churches in this country. There's a lack of great churches in the land. There's a lack of great churches in the world. But you know what? What are we doing to make it better? You know, we need to hold the fort in where we're at. If you're in a great church, amen. I'm glad for you. I'm glad to have a great church to go to in Vancouver, Washington. But there's a lot of people out there that don't have a great church to go to. There's a lot of cities, there's a lot of gaps out there that are missing. There's a lot of places where God is destroying that land.
Yeah.
Because there's a lack of a great church. A great soul-winning, fire-breathing, independent, fundamental Baptist church that cares about souls going to hell, that cares about what Bible verse is being preached, that cares about people in the community and actually wants them to be saved. There's a lack of that. And you know what? All power is given unto Jesus. And you know what? He wants to give that power to us. He wants us to have those keys and unlock those doors. But sadly, a lot of people just are too apathetic and they don't care.
Right.
Sadly, there's not enough men that want to step up and stand in that gap. You know what? That needs to change. You want an IFB, a new IFB church in your area? Well, why don't you start focusing on some of the things that I talked about in this sermon, and maybe God, peradventure, will allow that to happen in your area. Right. But you know what? If you just sit back and think it's, you know, that you don't have to do anything to kind of help it along or make it happen, then you're in for a sad state of affairs. Because he's not going to come to your town of 500 and start a soul-winning, you know, fire-breathing Baptist church. It's not going to work. But you know what? If you want to hunker down, you want to pray to the Lord, hey, are you a man of like passion just like Elijah? Why don't you start praying? Why don't you get on board God's program and maybe he will give you the desires of your heart also. So how to get a new IP church started? Number one, you need to get realistic. Number two, you need to get faithful, stay faithful, and be patient. Number three, you got to get a man of God. Number four, you got to get on God's radar. You got to ask him. You have not because you asked him. And pray that God would just get a hold of the hearts of the men of this generation. That's my hope. You know, because who's going to fill the shoes of men right now?
Yeah.
We need the next generation to step up. Yeah. We need the mean generation to say, you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this great soul-winning trip we've been on. I pray that, Lord, you'd help each and every one of us to just stand in the gap, stay in our spot, Lord, and hold the fort. I just pray that you'd help us to pray for new churches to start, Lord. And, Lord, you know my heart when it comes to the soul-winning and church planning. Lord, I just pray that you'd help our church to do great works as we've already done. And, Lord, we have a lot of great churches that we've started already. And I pray, Lord, that you'd work in the hearts of the other men in this world and people that might be in this movement, Lord, that you just help them and put something, a fire in their heart where they just say, you know what, Lord, I'm here, am I, send me. And Lord, I just pray that you just help our church to be a powerhouse and soul winning for many years to come and red hot preaching, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless each and every person that came out tonight. And Lord, we thank you again for all the souls that were saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Brother Daniel, you want to pray for Dennis' prayer?
Father in heaven, I thank you that we can all be together here and hear your word, Lord, being preached. I thank you that Pastor Bryson was able to come to Yakima and everybody that came. And I thank you that we were able to go out and preach the word boldly and that people were able to, you know, hear your word, be saved, Lord. I just thank you so much for all your blessings, Lord, and your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.